So my name's Susanna, and I've been coming to this church about the last 9 years. And in my day job, I run an educational charity. But many years ago, back at university, I studied theology. I've preached here occasionally, but not for quite a few years. So it's a real joy tonight to be back up here sharing this message with you. Last week, Jonathan Smith kicked off our new series on MOVE, and he was looking particularly at allowing God to work through us and us moving alongside him. Jonathan had all manner of whizzy videos to show everybody, and I'm afraid I'm not quite so good with the tech, so I've got a few basic slides, but no snazzy videos. But this week, we're looking at what it means to move an inch for God. An inch isn't very big. It's about 2.5 centimetres, for those of you that prefer the metric measurement. So this is all about looking for the small, everyday opportunities right where we are. Now, in my team at work on a Monday morning, to cheer us up post the weekend, in our team meeting, we have a weekly riddle. And I've got one for you this evening on the theme of moving an inch. So in just a minute, you can turn to your neighbour and see who can crack the riddle. And I even have some fudge for whoever happens to win the riddle first. Who doesn't love some fudge? So here's the riddle. What can travel around the country without moving an inch? You've got about a minute to turn to your neighbour and see if you can crack that. What can move around the country without moving an inch? What is it? No, it's not a stamp, actually. Is no one going to get the fudge? Huh? No. 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 Do you want the answer? No. Oh, I'm going to get to keep the fudge for myself at this rate. Final guesses?
Money.
No. It's a railway line. Oh. I'll have to see if my team at work crack that any quicker. Well, whoever gets up here first at the end can claim the fudge. Hopefully that woke you up a bit, got your brains thinking, even if nobody quite cracked the right answer. But continuing with the theme of games, hands up here if you've ever played hide and seek. Perhaps when you were a child, perhaps when you were a little bit bigger. Hands up if you've ever played it with small children. And, oh yes, quite a lot of people. And have you ever watched them kind of hide in a painfully obvious place, but they think that because they can't see you, you can't see them? Yeah, we've got some nods. Can I have the first slide up for this, actually? There we go. I have to say, I particularly love the one of the transparent box. And this kid has obviously gone to a lot of effort to manage to get himself inside that box. But sorry, mate, we can still see you. So there is actually a serious point to all of this, believe it or not. The passage I've chosen to focus on for our topic tonight is really primarily about seeking God's kingdom. And the more I've thought about this, the more I've wondered if God is actually a bit like the adult playing hide and seek with us, able to see perfectly clearly the everyday, ordinary opportunities, kingdom opportunities there for us, and we're the ones kind of going around missing them. And it's like some of these opportunities have got their feet sticking out under the carpet, and they're sort of right there in front of us, but we're kind of going around in our little days, you know, doing our own little thing, and we're somehow missing these sort of God-given opportunities that are actually right in front of us. So we're going to unpack this a little bit further tonight and have a think about what it might mean for God's kingdom to really break into our ordinary, everyday world. The thing I don't like about being given these sort of topics to preach on is that they don't come with a Bible verse or a passage to kind of root yourself in. So my first task in thinking about this tonight was to try and think of what passage might be good for us to look at to root what we're thinking about tonight in the scriptures. And I just thought before we go any further, I'd outline the three main reasons why I've chosen this passage tonight for this theme of moving an inch. The first is that I love the fact that it's about God in the ordinary, everyday needs. So the very beginning of it was all about food and clothing, and this is about the God who's interested in our ordinary, everyday lives. Secondly, I love the fact that it contains a very profound but important instruction. It's actually quite a simple instruction: to seek first the kingdom of God. That's what it's all rooted in, seeking first the kingdom of God. And it's that verse 33 that I think is really at the heart of what we're looking at tonight. And then thirdly, and maybe at this point I can have the next slide up. Oh, got it already. Excellent. The passage is all focused on the here and now. It's telling us not to worry about tomorrow, but to focus on what's right in front of us here today. And I love that definition of tomorrow up there, a mystical land where 99% of all human productivity, motivation, and achievement is stored. I don't know if that resonates with anyone here tonight. It's this sort of constant seeking after tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll all be all right. Tomorrow I'll achieve all these things I've set out to do. But actually, it's this sort of fairly mythical place that we're all waiting for. And the passage tonight is saying, forget about tomorrow. Let's focus on the here and now and the opportunities that are right in front of us. Sometimes when you're looking at a passage, it's good to compare it with some different translations, see what they have to say. And I actually really liked the good old Message version of this passage, which says this: steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And this is the most important bit. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So just think about that central line again. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. And I'd really like us to try and imagine, if you can, what it might actually look like if we lived our lives like that, giving our entire attention to what God is doing in the here and now, rather than getting all worried about this mystical land of tomorrow, which may never come. So then I got to thinking, well, what is it that stops us from living our lives like that, from focusing on the here and now? And I'm sure there are lots of very good reasons why we don't go around living like that, but here are a few thoughts on why that might be. One, I think, is that sometimes we're waiting for something amazing, a sort of lightning bolt calling to go and become a missionary or do something really phenomenal for God. And I've got two problems with that. One is that, well, there are characters in the Bible that go on some amazing missionary journeys and that kind of thing. The Bible's full of stories of people and their ordinary everyday lives and what God was doing in the here and there. And certainly Jesus traveled around a little bit, but when you think about his impact on the world, he didn't actually really travel all that far. And actually, a lot of what Jesus was all about was the ordinary everyday things of eating and drinking with people and having an impact in that ordinary everyday life. Second reason I think this idea of sort of waiting for the amazing revelation to come isn't such a great idea is that actually the people I know that have gone on to do some really incredible things or have found these big callings to go somewhere have got there over a really long period of time, and actually they're the people that I observe are just faithful in the ordinary everyday things, and it's gradually over time as they're faithful in the little stuff that God leads them on to the next stages. I think another reason we can be stopped from living our lives in the here and now is that maybe we're feeling we have to wait until we're a bit perfect, until we do something or until we've got a few things in our lives sorted out. Or maybe we feel we have to achieve a certain status. Maybe it's finishing studying or getting married or the kids leaving home or whatever those kinds of things might be. We're waiting for sort of that next step in life before we think we can act. And that almost sort of paralyzes us into inaction because we're so busy waiting to get to that point. But I think God doesn't look for qualifications. He's not looking for us to reach a certain status before he can use us. He's just looking for an open heart and a willingness to get on and be obedient in the things that are right in front of us. And certainly, if you look at the Bible, he's more than capable of using imperfect people and people that have not got it all sorted out. There's some really obvious ones: David who commits adultery, Peter denying Jesus, Paul going around persecuting the Christians before his conversion. So God is more than able to use us in the here and now, whatever our status in life and whatever the baggage we might be carrying around. And then the third reason I just want to touch on briefly is that maybe it's just a bit of a lack of motivation. Maybe we're turning up to church most weeks, but we've somehow sort of lost our passion. And Jonathan spoke very movingly last week about how our deeds should be driven by our love for God, and that it's our passion and love for him that compels us into action. And maybe some of us here tonight have just lost a bit of that, whether it's just sort of tiredness or the everyday worries of life taking over. But if you're somebody who's sitting here tonight thinking, yeah, maybe I've just lost a bit of that motivation, I'd love for you to come and pray with somebody at the end before you leave here tonight about that, because I really think when we come to God and saying, yeah, I want to get that passion back, he will move in our hearts to give us that. So my biggest hope is that by the end of this evening, you might leave agreeing that it's not worth sitting around waiting for particular things to happen or get resolved before we start to spot these everyday opportunities. But I want to just now share three different stories and examples of where I think God has acted when people have moved just a few small centimetres to hopefully inspire you that small steps and beginnings can be multiplied by God and can take us on a journey well beyond our imagination. So could I have the next slide at this point? And by the time I finish these three examples, you might understand the relevance of these three images on the screen. So in August in the summer, I was lucky enough to get to go to Soul Survivor with some of the amazing youth that we have here. And at Soul Survivor this year, there was a group from South Africa called Live. Live is it's not even an orphanage, it's an entire village for children orphaned by AIDS. And the two founders, Titch and Joan Smith, were there. They've written an entire book about the Live story, and I was so interested in kind of how on earth do you get from, they were very sort of ordinary people, fairly broken lives, actually they've got some complicated backgrounds, how on earth did they get to that point of running an entire village for AIDS orphans, and now actually it's multiplying across not just South Africa, but the whole of Sub-Saharan Africa. So I bought their book, thoroughly recommend it if anybody wants to read an inspiring journey. It's called When Grace Showed Up. And for me, the crunch point reading this book came when Joan, the wife, was talking about how the whole thing started. And it began for her by realizing that there were some children in the local township who were going really hungry. And she thought, well, one thing I could do is make them peanut butter sandwiches and take them in once a week. And it was from an act of taking in peanut butter sandwiches to this township faithfully every week for about a year, that eventually that small act of making these sandwiches to go into this township gradually grew, and God spoke to her more and more about the things that she could be doing. But it didn't begin with a great sort of lightning bolt vision. It just began with a simple small step of, God, what can I do to help this community? I know I can make some peanut butter sandwiches. I also love the fact that I think God really loves food, and the Bible's full of lots of examples of people eating, and the fact that the vision for Liv began out of these peanut butter sandwiches I think is really wonderful. And my question for you is, what might be your equivalent of peanut butter sandwiches? Is there somebody you could be offering a meal to or befriending or offering hospitality to in some way? Or maybe it's as simple as remembering to bring a couple of tins of beans to stick in the food bank collection at the back. But all of those things, small things, moving an inch, glimpses of God's kingdom. And in the Live case, the peanut butter sandwiches grew into something really phenomenal. Second one, actually, I've just mentioned it, but it's the story of the food bank. And many of you probably know the food bank today as this enormous national network. There's now over 400 of them around the country, recognised by the government. The food bank actually started in my hometown of Salisbury, and I was in the church youth group at the time. It was sort of all kicking off, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with the founders, Paddy and Carol, really amazing couple. And I asked him one day, Paddy, what had sort of kicked it all off for him. And he'd actually been doing some work in Bulgaria at the time, but had been challenged by a local lady about why was he doing all this work in Bulgaria when there were children going hungry in an affluent city, or relatively affluent city, like Salisbury. And this really bothered Paddy, so he started thinking, well, what could I do about it? He didn't have a big vision for this sort of national network, but he thought, well, I can start collecting some tins of food, I can get a few people to help me in that, and I've got a shed that's sitting a bit empty in my garden, so I could store it all in my shed and then I'll figure out how I'm going to distribute it. He didn't have a great plan initially for how he was sort of going to distribute it all. So it all started, the food bank, this massive network, 400 of them around the country, feeding almost 1 million people, I think it is now, started off in Paddy's shed in his back garden with a few tins of beans. I'm not actually sure if his shed looked like that nice, but it's the best I could find. So again, my question is, what simple resources do you have that perhaps you could use to bless others? Maybe it is just as simple as some tins of beans you could be putting in the food bank. Maybe it's that little bit of time or even some practical physical space. Who knows how God will grow it, but I love this vision of starting small with a few beans in a shed. And then my third illustration actually comes from my own story and my own background over the last few years. So I became very bothered a few years ago that there were a lot of children in London whose parents were paying a small fortune for them to have private tutoring. And at the same time, there are many, many children whose families could just never afford that and who are perhaps really struggling at school and would really benefit from some one-on-one support. And that got me thinking, well, maybe we can get some volunteers together to try and provide some support to kids that wouldn't otherwise afford it, who are at risk of leaving school without those crucial qualifications. And it was the seed of an idea that God sort of gave to me, and it all kicked off with just a local connection at the Peckham Academy and a handful of volunteers, some from this congregation, including Doug, who sat right there, who agreed to come along to the very first program and do some English and maths tutoring. At the time, it wasn't a vision for anything enormous. It was just here's something practical that we could do locally to try and help some local kids in this community. Beyond my wildest dreams, God has grown it. We now work in 6 cities around the UK. We've got a network of about 800 volunteers, work with about 1,600 kids a year. But it all began here in Peckham with just a handful of committed people saying, yeah, I could come and do some maths tutoring, and giving up that little bit of time to come to the Peckham Academy. Now, when I was reading my notes earlier to prep for this, I suddenly found that Tom, my husband, who's about to become the ops director here at All Saints, had scribbled on my notes, can you give a plug for the site redevelopment at this point? And the point of the plug for the site redevelopment, to bring it back to our local context, is that the site redevelopment is a massive vision. It's a massive dream. And maybe there are people in this congregation thinking, how on earth are we at All Saints ever going to raise 5.5 million to make this project happen? But as hopefully you've just realized from these examples, God can do amazing things when a few people faithfully step out and take a few small steps and join together to make stuff happen. So if you're feeling remotely unsure about the site redevelopment, please take heart that with the right passion behind it and people coming together and taking those small steps, God can multiply that and do amazing things. And I think it's also a challenge for each of us to think about what might be our inch that we can contribute to the site redevelopment, whether it's a little bit of money, a little bit of time, coming along to the auction of promises, all manner of ways that you can get involved. And I'm sure Tom would love to tell you more about that if you want to find out more about how you could do that. But I think this idea of God taking small beginnings and multiplying them is really powerful. And speaking to people here in church, I know that there are many who've got their own dreams and visions. And perhaps you're wondering where on earth to start, but I really hope you can take some encouragement from each of these stories, that amazing big things can come out of just really small steps and spotting the ordinary everyday opportunities. Maybe though you're sitting here and thinking, well, I don't have a great big plan or a big vision for anything, and that's more than okay. Moving an inch might just be going out of our way a little bit in our ordinary lives. Befriending the new joiner at work, saying hello to the new neighbour that's just moved in, helping an old lady with her shopping, or helping a mum carry her buggy up the steps at Peckham Rye Station, which still doesn't have a lift. All these simple everyday things that we could do. Or maybe it's bringing your tins of beans to the food bank. It doesn't have to be a huge vision, but I really believe the more we do these simple everyday things, the more God multiplies it. And 2 weeks ago, if any of you were here in the morning service, the evangelist J. John spoke very, very powerfully about how simple small steps touch people's lives. And he really had three principles which might be good for us to remember this week: praying, sharing, and caring. We can be praying for those everyday opportunities and asking God to open our eyes so that we don't walk blindly past them. We can be sharing just some really simple little things about our faith with those around us. Maybe it's even just mentioning to a colleague at work tomorrow morning that you were here tonight. And just going out of our way to show that we care, whether it's befriending someone or taking the time to listen to them. And I really believe that the more we pray and ask God to show us these opportunities, the more we kind of become in tune to his spirit and start to spot them. So I would really love it if off the back of tonight we could all be going away praying and asking God to open our eyes to spot some of those opportunities right there in front of us. And we don't have to wait for that lightning bolt moment. God just wants us to get on with serving him and seeking those opportunities right where we are. Could I have the next slide up? Sometimes maybe God needs to shake us up a little bit. I mentioned earlier about sort of lacking motivation or feeling a bit lacking in passion for some of this stuff, but I don't know if any of you knew, but apparently last year Mount Everest was massively shaken up in an earthquake, and it actually physically moved about an inch, which was very convenient for this sermon illustration. actually was. I typed in what's moved an inch, and it actually popped up Mount Everest. I was like, that's pretty cool. Maybe we don't need an enormous earthquake in our lives, like the one for Mount Everest, to shake us up quite that dramatically. But I do wonder, like, what is it that would be the things that would shock or shake us up into acting? And I really, really believe that each day is a very precious gift from God, and that he doesn't want us to waste it. All manner of terrible tragedies can happen. I don't even particularly want to mention them, but cyclists getting killed in London, people just dropping dead unexpectedly. Bad stuff can happen that kind of can shake us to the core. And when we hear those stories, it really reminds us that time is precious and the time to act is now, not tomorrow. In saying that, I really don't want fear to be our motivation, because I don't think that's what God wants for us tonight. But I think it's about recognizing that each and every day is that precious gift from God, and he doesn't want us sitting around wasting it. He wants us living fully to make the most of every moment that we have for his glory. But finally, just to end, and hopefully focusing on this idea of being propelled by love for God rather than our motivation coming from fear, I want to just remind us that these small steps on our part, the seeking of the ordinary kingdom everyday opportunities, are ultimately rooted in the fact that God has moved towards us first. It's not us taking the first step. And that should be our true motivation for all the seeking that we go around doing. And in sending Jesus in the incarnation, God made the most astronomical move towards human beings. And in going to the cross, Jesus took the biggest step that none of us are capable of making. Can I have the next slide? Thanks. There's just a couple of pictures of that for you. The incarnation and the cross, God's massive steps towards us. And I think when you root what I'm saying in that image of God coming to earth and Jesus going to the cross, maybe that ask of us to seek first his kingdom in the here and now doesn't seem quite so huge when we're reminded of the love that he's shown us, and that can be the motivation that propels us to want to respond. I think also in preparing this, I was just really reminded that we don't do any of this seeking or any of this action in our own strength. Any steps we take will be minuscule compared to the ones he's taken. But all he's asking is for us to be obedient, faithful, and take those small opportunities. And I absolutely love the verse in Philippians 4, verse 13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Any steps we take, any challenges that come our way, he'll be the one there strengthening us through them. So, as we come towards the end, what would it look like this week for you to take some small steps to seek out those kingdom opportunities? Perhaps it's making some small change in your life. Maybe it's just reaching out to someone to show that you care. Perhaps it's remembering next week to bring some food for the food bank or some donations for the refugee project. Maybe you're sitting there and you've been thinking about volunteering for a while. Maybe now's the time to find out a little bit more and take that next step on the journey towards making it happen. And maybe you're somebody who has got a sort of long-term dream and vision of something you'd like to see happen, like the food bank. And maybe you're thinking it just seems totally unmanageable. But if you think about breaking it down, what might be a really small step over the next few days that might take you that little bit further towards achieving it? But I think above all, I want to say, please don't wait. The time is now. Time is precious. God doesn't want us waiting for tomorrow, but wants to focus on what's right here in front of us in the here and now. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to be waiting for the lightning bolt moment to go and become a missionary or something like that. And if you think back to that hide and seek illustration at the beginning, I think there really is plenty of seeking to be done right here and now. And in all honesty, God's not trying to hide it from us. You know, those opportunities really are sticking out under the curtain or underneath that translucent box. And I think if we start praying that little bit more for God to show them to us, the scales will fall off our eyes and we will see the things that are right there in front of us. And ultimately, I'd just love us to remember that any step that we take over the next week or the coming weeks will be more than matched by the steps that God has taken towards us.